everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 104. VonnerCon, VonnerCon, VonnerCon. Ladies and gentlemen, howdy. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. It is also a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. My name is The Brant. I am your host for this episode. And with me
is your co-host, Kathy.
Zephra!
Awesome. We just finished up a crazy weekend in our house of gaming at VonnerCon. So, how did that all go, Kath?
It was awesome. People were here pretty much all the time, except for a few hours between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m. From Thursday afternoon all the way through Sunday.
It was craziness. How was it for you, Zephra?
Good.
Yeah, what was your favorite part of VonnerCon?
Playing with all my friends.
Yeah, Zephra had lots of friends over, so that was really cool. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go straight to Zephra. She's going to run us through the game she played, anything else she wants to say, and then she's going to vamos off this episode. Go ahead, Zeph.
I played Dice Fishing, Monopoly Gamer, Heroes of Cascaria, Doodle Quest, Sleeping Queens, Chicky Boom, and Pangolo. And I also played, I taught Fruit Ninja.
Woo! Teaching games. That's my girl. Who did you play Chicky Boom and Pengaloo with?
Adon and Brian.
Yeah, that's right. And Adon is Brian's
son.
There you go. Awesome. Anything else you want to tell us about VonnerCon?
It was fun.
How were these games?
Good.
Which one was your favorite?
Monopoly Gamer.
Ooh, nice. Cool. And what did we just pick up yesterday? Do you remember?
Mario...
Kart.
Kart.
Monopoly.
Monopoly.
All right. Are you good?
Yeah.
All right. Say bye.
Bye.
All right. So I am going to tell you a little bit about VonnerCon. It started a few years ago. Is this our fourth year? It's our fourth year. Brant's birthday is in October. He wanted to hold a gaming convention at our house for his birthday. And little did I know 4 years ago that this would turn into an annual event.
You knew.
I didn't want to know, but probably deep down I knew. But this year was really fun. What was our total for the 4 days? 111
people? 111
people,
103 games played.
There it is. So yeah, it started about 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon and went through after midnight on Sunday. We averaged about 20 people a day. The biggest day, obviously, was Saturday. We had almost 50 people Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's 45 people on here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, the fun thing about this is it's people we know from everywhere coming. So this year we had people from church who came, people from our neighborhood who came. One of Zephra's friends' family came. People from the portal, people from the library, basically anyone we've ever
family
met. Oh, family.
People who live in this house that aren't us.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so from every area of our lives, people came, which is super fun, and played. And people brought friends. Again, every year there's people in our house who I don't know. Which is just fun that people feel comfortable here, and are able to enjoy the space. So I guess I'll just go into a few of the games I played.
Well, we're going to do that, but I got a little bit more.
Not yet. All right.
So, good job.
No.
I think what's important with VonnerCon, like a lot of times when you hear other reviewers or media people talk about conventions, they talk about really it's about the people. And I totally get that with conventions. I'm still in the, when I go to a convention, want to play the new games, want to see that. I love seeing people. Again, I'm not trying to deny that. But this one was truly about the people. And I think that's just what's so great. Like, we just open up our house. Vonner means friends in Swedish. We are Swedish, so it's Friends Con. And our whole motto to our house is, like, this is, you know, this is the home to any friend. Like, anybody could just come in, and this is a place for them. So I feel like we truly live that out with this convention. Board games are primary and secondary. Like, board games are what we're doing, but really we're getting people together to play, to be together, and we're getting all these cross sections of our life together playing games. Now, it doesn't always mean that way. There were times where it was a group of people from the portal playing a game and a group of family members playing a game, and they weren't necessarily always, you know, cross-contaminating. but I think it was just, that's, you know, the games are what's happening, but nothing brings that many people together in a house like games. Because if we said, we're going to have a movie marathon for several days, like, people would show up and they'd watch a movie, but it wouldn't be quite the same. Now, you might have more people in more proximity with a movie or something like that, or a video game thing, or we're going to camp in our backyard for 4 days. Yeah, there's obviously other things. I don't want to deny other things, but games really bring people together. Games make people come all 4 days.
Yep.
And games make people play 5 and 6 hours, right? If it was something else, somebody might come and watch one movie, or they might come, like, hey, we just have open house, come do something at our house. And they might come and play a backyard game and sit in a chair and hang out and talk, but they wouldn't stay, you know, 5, 6 hours a day. And we really had that with people. So I just think that's a really important part of what we're doing. Now, some people might be like, wait a second, I'm listening to a podcast about a store, and now you're telling me about a convention in your house. So I think what's important there is, if you're kind of new to this, listening here, is, you know, really the idea of this podcast is to build up the gaming community centered around this store. And who are the people in the store? Who are the people existing? And so Kathy and I, along with Brian, who you'll hear later, are the hosts of the podcast, and we're the ones just kind of bringing that community together, whether it be an event somewhere in the New England area, something at our homes. Last episode, we had Christian on, who's just a local gamer from the store. Going to have some more people from the store on, so I think that this convention just brought some of those people together. VonnerCon is totally open. Kathy cringes sometimes at this, but nah. Anybody that wants to come can come. The 111 people, that was turnstile attendance.
Yes.
So there were some 4-dayers, 2-dayers, 3-dayers that get counted multiple times. But hey, you know what? If people came all those times and played games, I want to count them every day.
Absolutely.
I want to count every game that gets played. I see Tapple on here 15 times. But hey, if people played Tapple 15 times, God bless them. Like, what a great time that must have been. So, and, you know, there's some no-joke long games on here. Castell, Altiplano, you know, there's definitely some bigger games for something like this. There was no Mega Civ. There was no Twilight Imperium 4. There was no 18XX. Nothing was 5 and 6 hours, one game. Most of the long games were 2 to 3 hours. But I think that's fine. I think it makes sense when you're in a house and moving through. So people would ask questions like food and structure and when was your door closed and all that. So give us some of the, like, details of a convention like this, parking and insanity in our own houses.
Oh,
go
yeah.
From the, because you're the very strong hosting in. I mean, I taught and welcomed people, but you were very much playing hostess.
Yeah. We have kind of a long driveway, but it's wide at the end. And so we kind of set the parking off. We park at an angle down there so we can fit a bunch of cars in normally. And everybody can get out. And then our front yard, we had
double parked.
We had double parked. I looked out the front door one time and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a literal parking lot out there. We live on a pretty quiet street, so there was street parking too. I would say we fit like 10 cars on our front lawn.
Oh, right.
And
few in the street and
six or seven in the driveway.
It's 20 cars.
Yeah. So, we made it work at all. Everybody was fine. For food, we bought some snacks ahead of time. We told everybody meals are pretty much on you, and just bring something when you come, if you're going to come for a while. So we had a food table set up, and it was just kind of revolving. Things got brought, things got eaten, people brought drinks and this and that. And then every once in a while, we'd all chip in and order a pizza if it came down to that. Or I made pasta one night, just cheap, big pots of just regular pasta with a jar of sauce on there. And I think people were happy enough with all that. We made coffee and had it available one time. But it's very much, I think, that goes in with it, too. It's a community thing. I feel like almost everybody who came brought something.
You told me about Harrison and Mason.
Oh, yeah. One time I was walking through, and Harrison and Mason were emptying the garbage can. They were like, where do you keep your bags? What should we do with this? Which was just such a great thing. Like, everybody kind of just took a part of it all, and we're helping out. Harrison brought me coffee one day.
There you go.
I could have cried. It was wonderful. People were just all in it together. It was just a really fun, positive environment, and
So in terms of like tables and stuff, like our church is awesome. So our church lets us borrow big, long style tables.
Yeah.
They've even offered to host it at the building if it ever gets so big. But one of the keys, I think, for us is to have it in our house. It's kind of one of the values, is that people are coming into a home.
Yeah. And people came at like 8:30 in the morning.
Stayed till 1 in the morning.
And
would have stayed later.
Yeah. So it was just this flexibility that we might not have had necessarily elsewhere as well.
Yeah. So set up a bunch of tables. But really, Kathy is the hero behind this whole thing. So her and her grandfather built shelves so we could shelve all the games floor to ceiling. So my big box games, I've got about 15 to 18 to a shelf, 12 shelves. So that thing is running about 180, 200 big box board games. Too Many Bones is there, Mechs vs. Minions, Twilight Imperium 4, like that style are on there. And then we've got like a mini bookshelf, kind of like in a kid's bedroom or something, white shelf, and that's holding all the small box games, and there's about 120 there. So altogether we had about 300 games offered to people. People brought a handful. I would say, you know, some people brought 5 or 10 games, most people brought like 1 or 2, so there was those on hand. We have more games in the house, but yeah. I just had to pick what would be there.
Well,
but there was never like a, oh, darn it, there's nothing to play. Or, oh, don't you have this? I really wanted to play this.
Yeah.
It never really came out.
And I mean, plus the pile in the Hall of Kids games,
oh,
too.
Right. Yeah, there's another 40 kids games in the hall. So there was 350 games. So I figured if you couldn't find a game to play amongst 350, just sit and chat with somebody. So that worked out. But yeah, then Kathy, I mean, the day before, she cleaned for 9-10 hours straight through like 11 o'clock at night, and really just even stepped up as people were here, and, you know, I tried to introduce everybody to Kathy who didn't know her, which most people do, but just for a few people so that you could be a point person for people who need anything. Finding the bathroom, taking out the garbage, cooking food, keeping me on a clock, like, hey, you might want to eat, it's 2 in the afternoon, it might be dinner time, and just, I don't know, even allowing all this, because it's chaos, and a lot of people would not want this many people just walking through their house. You go to bed, and there's still people here, you know, people are here before we're up in the morning, or we're just up in the morning.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't mind that
so,
part.
But I feel like when we purchased this house, that was the point. To
yes.
be in a decently central location, to have space in which we could host regularly and host large events like this.
Yeah.
So, Hemtel Vonner, we don't give out our address, but if you know where we are, then the door's always open to you. There's plenty of games available. There's coffee readily available. That's kind of how our house is. Yeah. Come over. We're here. Hang out. Cool. Let's talk about games.
Yeah.
Me first. I'll go first. All right. I'm just going to highlight some of the games I got to play mostly for the first time. Ones I didn't play for the first time, but people just kept. Well, I kept teaching people Catalyst because I love that game. And all in all, it's like 25, 30 minutes. The teach is about 5, and so it gets maybe a little past that. But Catalyst seemed to go over well. It's starting to feel like a game that I like best, these heralded games that I always am nervous about. Like, thanks, that was a game. but what can you do? You're always, so, there's going to be games you like the best. And then Root, of course, was very popular. It's, you know, striking a strong chord across the community. It seems to be making its way towards Game of the Year. For a lot of people, and so I got to play a lot of games of Root. One very awkward game of Root. The others seemed solid, but there was an awkward one in there. So new games I got to play. I'm not really going to review anything on this episode, and hope to double back to some of these because this is not the point of this episode, I don't think. But I got to play Libertores from MOA Ideas. And I love mini rails from Mo Ideas. I've heard only good things about Tulip Bubble. They just sent me Symphony Number 9, was in my new pile of games. Kathy's laughing because it's like we had 50 something games to review and we got through 35 of them and 10 more came in. not complaining, it's a good problem to have. So Libertores was kind of meh. It's kind of a social deduction game. It's more like hit and roll, but then you just play like a Euro style resource game and see who wins in the end. So you're just trying to figure out based on moves, almost more like BSG than like a Werewolf or Avalon, you know, Resistance. It's less the social and more the playing the game and figuring it out. It was okay. Played Western Legends from Colossal Games. This is the big new Western game. It was hyped a lot. It wasn't my favorite play. One player ran away with the game, but we played the short game, so I could see the medium or long game allowing for more things. It felt like you could do a lot, and sandbox Western, I can totally see people doing that. It's not as sandboxy. Like, I guess you can make choices, but there's some things given to you. It was better than meh. I would definitely play it again, but it just kind of felt like you do stuff in a Western world. However, many people love the Western theme, and I can see this game being popular because of a strong Western theme. I mean, they definitely had that there, and it's cool you get to play poker, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And actual Texas Hold'em poker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is in there. I played Tiny Epic Defenders with Dark War, so I had talked about Tiny Epic Defenders prior, and I got to play it, and I liked it. It was very boring at first, and it got better. And we played with the Dark War expansion, and it was pretty much the same. Like, at first, it just feels like, oh no, this game is just kind of meh. But it gets a lot better, it gets interesting. This had skills, it had caravans you had to turn in, and then you got bonuses, but you had to do it to win. It was fine, but it let you get experience points, which was huge, so then you could use abilities, although a lot of the abilities were not used very often, but it was there. Played Spirit Island, Branch and Claw, so I played with the new characters. They're awesome. The new stuff in the game is great. It adds events that add variability to the game.
Right.
In a game that doesn't have a lot of variability, you tend to know what the invaders are going to do.
Yeah.
The events made it neat. Although they were weird, the events gave like a big negative and then two positives. So it basically evened out, so it didn't make the game any harder. Still, my biggest complaint about Spirit Island is it's too easy. Now, it's not really fair because they have scenarios and adversaries in the box. And scenarios and adversaries increase the difficulty, but they also increase the fiddliness of the game. You've got to pay attention to more things. I have played with them a couple times in a few things, and they're pretty good. They're not crazy fiddly, so I really need to mix those in. But I was teaching Spirit Island a lot. I think most groups are finding that at 4, it's just a lot. It's overwhelming. So I think, ultimately, this is a great 2 and 3 player game. And at 4, you're playing the game, but it's a big thing to wrap your head around. And then even once you turn the tide and you're winning, it's like a long road to get there. And I think that can make the game feel a little long. So if you have the possibility of playing it with two or three, do that. It is also a soloable game. They warn you in the rulebook that one makes the game highly variable, and so a single event or something could affect you there. So just watch for that. I tend to play solo with two factions, and I find that more interesting, personally. But Spirit Island, Branch, and Claw is a no-brainer. If you like Spirit Island, which I absolutely love, one of my favorite games from last year, and one of my favorite co-ops of all time, Branch and Claw is just a no-brainer here, so go for that. The big one, Bios Megafauna 2. So we got this to the table, and man, if you want to not learn how to play a game, but educate yourself about all this biology, then this is the rule book for you. Because this does not easily tell you how to play the game. I am thankful to Heavy Cardboard there for teaching this game on their channel, and I got to learn it, and then I could just reference the rule book. It was enjoyable. Again, we played at four, and with four, one of the factions, the plant faction, really gets... it just gets really tough for that faction, or because they play different from the others and get less action. So there's just a lot to wrap your head around in Bios Megafauna 2. Wanted to mention that it got played. It was a highlight, but we need to play again to do more review. And then finally, probably my favorite game from the convention. No, it was my favorite game that I played that was new. Brass Birmingham. And so there's the original Brass, which Kathy and I have played, and now the new updated version, and its companion game, Brass Birmingham, where they add beer and they add other mechanisms and they change the map. But essentially, it's still the same game. I didn't feel like it was actually a different game. I don't even think they were going for a different game. But the production is beautiful. The game is amazing. I played it like almost back-to-back. Like, I played it one night and then the next morning again. And I'm really excited. On my birthday, Kathy and I are going to play Brass Birmingham. And I'm a little nervous with your dislike of Euros lately. Newton and Wendake and all those.
Oh, yeah.
But you've played Brass before and enjoyed it. So I think
yeah.
I think we'll be good. And the production is just gorgeous on that game.
I'm sure it's just a phase.
There you go. She'll come back. She'll come back, Euro fans. She'll come back. Tell us what you played, Kath.
All right. I won't tell you every single game I played, but a couple... I don't know, that standout. I learned two games, I think maybe on the same day, the first day of VonnerCon. And as I sat down to the table, the opening line from the person who was teaching both of them was, okay, this is a treasure-seeking game. And so it was funny to me, the second game. But so the first one I played was Cryptid, which Brant told me he reviewed on the last episode, so I'm sure you've all heard that one, and I don't need to go into that for you. And I thought it was pretty good. It was a little weird. I was the last player, and I never once the whole game got to put a no token down. Mm. It just never got to me. I don't know, it was just... a strange play, but I thought it was fine. But then the second one I really liked was Tobago. So in this one, there are actually four different treasures scattered about on the island, and there's all these different terrains. So you're all trying to find the treasure. There were four of us, so we all had our own little jeep that was tracking around on the island, finding the treasure. We had a hand of cards, so we could actually choose kind of where the treasure ended up, because you would play these cards that would... reduce the possibilities of where the treasure could be located. And you can play them on any of the four different treasures you wanted to limit where that would be. And then everyone who had a part in deciding where that treasure was by putting their card down would then get a share of the treasure when it was drawn. when it was actually found. So I really liked that one. I felt like there was it was a lot more active as a player. I felt with Cryptid, I was very passive because I had the one turn where I could say, well, is it here? And then everybody else could answer. And then there was not much else I could do about that. So Tobago was a lot more fun to me. I really enjoyed it, and I would definitely play that again. So, yes, of the two, I liked that one much better.
Cool.
Some other games that I played Decrypto a few times. I ended up playing Mysterium 3 times. So I am very, very, very often the ghost when I play that game. Actually, I think the last time we played it, I played with a different group each time, but there was always someone there at night who wanted to play it. And they were like, oh, Kathy, you're the ghost. it was just kind of an
assumption.
Were
you the ghost all three times?
No, I was actually, let's see, it's definitely one.
This is great podcasting.
I can't remember. I know. I can't remember. I know I was once or twice. The third time, I certainly wasn't. But
Tell us about the porch one.
Yeah, we ended up playing outside on the porch. It was great because it was beautiful out. And then it got dark and very hard to see. So we all had our cell phones out with our flashlights. And we brought the lamp down from our bedroom, I think, and put it out there.
Desperate times.
Desperate times. But yeah, it was very fun. Definitely it came down to the wire, but we won all of them, so I was very excited about that.
All right, I'm assuming this final game is your highlight con game.
I don't know about that, but the final game I have on here is Sticky Chameleons. And that is just hilarious. The things that end up coming out of your mouth when you play can become inappropriate, but hilariously so. I don't know if have you ever reviewed this on your podcast or explained it?
I think so.
Probably.
I think a couple times now. But well, it was a highlight like a year or two ago as well. Last year?
It might have been last year. Yeah. But you've got those, you know, in those put a quarter in vending machines and you get the little plastic thing and inside is that sticky hand that you throw against the wall and it sticks. So basically you have those except they're tongues and you're trying to catch bugs on the table. And it's just everybody's going at once and it's really funny and you end up hitting people in the eye or
losing pieces.
Yeah, there's a great hunt for pieces after many of the rounds.
Well, I feel like the genius in the design of the game, for lack of a better term there, though, is you roll the dice and you have to catch a certain bug.
Yes.
It's like the green beetle or the blue fly or whatever it is, right? And then everybody smacks for it. Somebody gets it pretty quickly. But then you have to get it off of your sticky tongue into your hand.
Right.
And that time frame creates chaos and a sudden deluge of tongues coming at you if you are the person who managed to get it.
Yes.
Not to mention all the people that miss and their stuff is flying everywhere.
Yes.
Or when somebody gets it slightly and then knocks it off the table and everybody's diving for it.
Yes, yes. So there was definitely times where we were in a pile on the floor all attempting to catch the
or just hit somebody
praying mantis or whatever we wanted to do. But yeah, that game is just fun and funny.
Awesome.
And yeah,
amazing con as usual. Obviously 111 people, 103 games played, all those days, all those times. I think, like you said, most hours for sure that people have been here. We really haven't had people, we've had people play later. We've actually had some years where we've gone to bed and people played to like 4 or 5 in the morning. But there wasn't much of that. People were willing to do that, but it's like, if you're just going to come back tomorrow and play again, like, why don't we sleep regular hours?
Yeah.
There's no reason to sleep 5 to noon. Like, why don't we just sleep 1 to 8, you know?
There were definitely way more people during the day this weekend than any other time we've done this. So I'm certain that there were more hours actually played than anything. And that I'm interested in the age spread. I'm interested in who our oldest player was, because I know our youngest player was 3. So, yeah.
But I'm not going to name any names.
I'm not going to name names either. But it was just, that's another thing that I just love about it, is we had the games for the little kids that had an equally fun time to older, more wise and there's no good way to say it, to older people who were here too. And it was just awesome that the spread was so big and everyone had fun.
Yeah, we're going to move on and do a segment with Brian as well, or I'm going to, but I may say this twice, but I'm just really thankful in the end, like, people who said, oh, I'll probably be there 1 or 2 days, like, came all 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Not that people that came 1 or 2 days was bad, that was awesome too, you know, the time they had. But just also thankful for the people that helped out, the people that taught, that welcome people in, like, even though it wasn't their house, like, oh, I've got a game, I'll teach it, because there's no way I can teach 100 people to play games every day. Like, I would love it, I'd love the opportunity, but I just can't, you know, it's exhausting. There were times where I'm just sitting at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and people are like, you're not going to play a game? And it's like, I've been playing since 8:30, if I sit for 30 minutes, I'll be okay. I'm just thankful for the people who came, they were excited, they helped out. Which was really basically everybody, but people especially who just were willing to take a group and teach them and do all that. And I was sad that I couldn't play a game with everybody. That would be a goal for me. But, you know, sometimes it was like, there's just these same groups of, like, 3 groups of people here at the same time that I can't sit and play with, and I've got to take care of other things. So, final thoughts for the con.
This one was awesome, and I'm looking forward to next year.
Woo! Save Space 2019, Indigenous Peoples Day weekend.
There it is.
Awesome. All right, we'll be back with Brian. We'll let Kathy say her adieu.
All right, see you later.
All right, part 2 of our VonnerCon recap. This is the Brent, and I'm here with...
Brian, to go over some of the games that were played at VonnerCon.
Yeah, give us your VonnerCon impressions and your games played, and it's kind of you. You've got the floor.
Yeah, no, so I got there. I tried to get there early Thursday, though. I know it's always kind of running a little later, so I got to your house and kind of sat down. There were some people already starting up Ticket to Ride Europe, so I was able to hop right into there and kind of just start playing games from that point on. It had been a while. I don't know if I'd ever played the physical copy of Ticket to Ride Europe, you know, a lot on, like, the app and everything like that, but it was nice to sit down and play it. I did terribly, so it was fun.
Do you forget how good Ticket to Ride is until you play it again, or is it just kind of okay to you? You didn't do well, so...
No, yeah, I think... I don't know. I liked...
UK.
UK, that was really good. Yeah. That was one where I had taken, like, a long break from Ticket to Ride style games. Like, that was a while ago, and just sitting down and playing that one, it was fun. Mm. But this one was okay. I mean, it just wasn't... It felt kind of vanilla, I guess.
Gotcha.
But not in a bad way. I mean, it's just we were sitting down playing, and I didn't feel like I really had anything going for me most of the game. So
cool.
That was fine. I mean, it was fun to, like, just... play off of that, you know.
Play with 5 people.
Yeah, cool. And just kind of give people a hard time, jokingly.
Right.
So we did that. From there, I ended up teaching Coimbra while some other people were playing, you know, whatever. You know, so there were 4 of us that hopped right into that, and that's... I was really glad to see this one. I was a little down on it after the last time we talked about it, but this one kind of brought it right back up. Like, it felt like there was a different strategy that worked pretty well. And, you know, it's just nice to see that there are ways to kind of to approach the game. I guess you just need to approach the game based on what the game has presented to you with all the randomness. So I was happy to see that worked out, and it wasn't just the standard thing that I had seen prior to that. And that was a great 4-player game, so it was fun.
Screaming for an expansion, though.
It needs an expansion. The only mechanism they need to do is the leftover die, the undrafted die, does something. Like, and not random, just it does something. And it just needs some variable cards, because the cards are static.
Yeah, yeah, it would be nice to see it so it's not the full, the you know, all the cards that you play through.
Right.
So you're, like, kind of banking on something being in there, and then...
And I think some of the sailing actions are, like, significantly better than the others. Like, have the potential to score way more points. Like, I feel like some of them are like, oh, for every card past 10, like, you really can't draft more than 12?
I got that. That one was really, really good for me. I had, like, 15 cards.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know what the maximum is, but I got the one that let me get something from my... from the discard, and then I activated that one again, and I grabbed a card with every die.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it was, yeah, it was good. So that would be, what, like 14 or something?
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that one seemed really good and really powerful for our game, so.
Nice.
That was really fun. Definitely worth playing if you haven't. Following that, I ended up just playing a quick game of Deja Vu, which is one of the new ones from Amigo. Maybe a new old release, but no, that's a great game. I mean, we played three player. You're kind of going through. There's a deck of cards. Each card has a symbol or multiple symbols on it of all these tokens that are in the middle of the board. And as soon as you're flipping through, like each symbol is on the cards twice. So you'll flip through as soon as you see the second of a certain type of symbol. You try to grab that token.
Nice.
So you're playing through, and there are so many symbols that are very close. Like, there's, like, a hammer and an axe that are, like, basically the same thing. Gotcha. There's, like, a postage stamp with, like, a hat on it, and there's the hat. So you're kind of, like, playing off of that. You'll go through the deck once. There are a few cards that are removed, so if you ended up grabbing something that was incorrect, like, you're out of the round. Or if you grab something before the second time it actually comes up, you're out of the round, too. Mm-hmm. You'll play through, get points based on where you ended. And then you'll shuffle the deck up and do the same thing again. It says to play three times.
Oh,
so,
gosh,
like, by the second time, it's like, I saw that, but did I see it this round, or did I see it a previous round?
Right.
So,
nice.
Yeah, definitely, you can't really... It would be tough to play this one back-to-back, but it was fun to play, like, the three rounds and just go through that. And it's a solid, quick game that was, you know, right what it needed to be. It was a good filler. So, after that, I taught Arboretum with a few people, and that's awesome. I mean, I guess it's just been kind of solidified in there. Again, I guess it feels more like a filler to me. I don't know what you... I guess it's a quick card game.
It's a filler if everybody knows how to play.
Yeah.
It becomes longer if you have to explain it and kind of, like, give strategy tips. Then it starts to push to 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But, like, it's 30 minutes if everybody knows how to play.
That's always so stressful, though. It's like, it's a game that just...
And it never works the way you
never
think.
Feel like you're doing well.
Right.
And then it's like, you can kind of sneak by and get like, or it was really close at the end of it. And it's just amazing how tight it feels the whole game.
It's a cool game.
So it was nice. It came down to like one of those eight cards getting nullified by a one.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Was the swing.
That's so,
and then, so to close the night, I ended up playing Concordia, which definitely solidified its place. That's another top 10
Woo!
For me. So that's
nice.
That's coming together. Top 10.
Did you crush?
For,
I don't know. Did you have a three-player game?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did pretty well. I mean, it was 111, 99, 97.
Oh, that's pretty close. That's pretty close.
Right. It wasn't like a runaway.
111 is a little bit low for the leader? No, I guess not.
Like, based on like our game, it wasn't like we played through the deck pretty quickly.
Yeah, right.
So we didn't have time to like completely set up the board, so... I guess it's just because you can end it different ways.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was Thursday. So that was a great start to it. I don't know, I think, what was it? We were kind of packing up a little early. It didn't go too late that night.
Yeah, most of the nights were between 12 and 1.
I know it was partially because it was that first time. Everyone was kind of getting ready for the next day, too. So, yeah, next day I came a little later in the morning, but I still got there like real early in the day to try to hit as many games as we could. That was kind of the like the day was the bulk of what I was going to be playing that day. So I know you had started off with a couple games. I came in when you were playing Western Legends, and I feel like that wouldn't really be like looking at it. I don't know if that would be my style of game. So
I'm glad we kind of hopped from...
There's like a level of disappointment, but not to the extent I wouldn't play it again. It was just, I get where thematically it's an awesome Western game, but I don't know that that's... Like, I'd almost rather play Colt Express for a Western game, like, and just have it be silly and hooting and hollering, you know what I mean? But it...
It was neat.
It's neat what it does. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you enjoyed playing with the people that you played with.
Yeah, and we got, and it was just like somebody just scored a ton. Like, Larry's a short ton, so. It wasn't even close. And I gave him points by making a bad play.
Gotcha. So that was just...
Yeah.
That was rough. But right after that, I mean, that was... We played BIOS Megafauna right after, right?
Yeah.
Which was a really long... teach. I guess it ended up being a long game, especially based on what the box looks like, though I guess you kind of expect that for all the Sierra Madre type of games.
It's just a huge barrier to entry. Like, even when you know the rules, it's a huge barrier to entry with those games, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't, knowing the rules is not knowing the game.
Right.
You have to, like, play and move through everything and see the flow and...
And you
understand
always...
why you're trying to do things. There's never really a why to those games.
Right.
And it finally creeps up or something just happens.
And so. Those always seem like there are so many... Like, it feels like it's presenting so much information to everyone.
Right.
And, like, it feels like it should be this super complex, like, I have to make all these decisions on my turn. But I feel like most of them boil down to, like... You have a couple key decision points, and then you have to hope that those are steering you in the right direction. And, you know, as it goes further down that course, like, you definitely see what your decisions, like, how your decisions affected your board state or whatnot.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like it's like, oh, this turn was so amazing, I did all these things, and, you know, like, it wasn't like, not huge steps of progress. It's very incremental with kind of what I've seen from most of the Sierra Madre stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I had said on the earlier one, like, review coming, because we just have to play it again and maybe cut the plants and see how it goes.
Yeah, no, it was brutal, just with the different...
It was just silly. It was just
like, three people with one one way that they played, and I was doing the opposite.
It was strange.
And then everything seemed to negatively affect what I was doing, and everyone else got a bonus, so it was... But it was interesting. I think that's kind of what you expect when you sit down and play one of those games.
Yeah.
You enjoy, like,
learning
aspects of it too. And it's like I think everything that went into it, like all the cards, those are just amazing to kind of look through, and just I feel like this was a game where I got invested into the theme more than like any of the other types of, like,
oh,
you know.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like,
yeah.
I actually felt like I was like creating this unique species or something.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's what you're saying.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's...
No, it was a cool game for sure.
Yeah. So, that was BIOS Megafauna.
Edition.
Yeah, the second edition. Sorry. Following that, we hopped into a short game just to kind of get something else to tell, because we had another player and we needed a five-player game that would work and we could kind of...
Right.
Ease right into the day. So we ended up playing Modern Art.
Oh, right.
Did you talk about this?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, this session was a little rough. I mean, people weren't really up on the the art.
They didn't like the art. Auctioning.
Right. So it was just...
I thought the game was great. Like, I totally know where the game is going, what it's trying to get you to do. And we saw it in the last round, where people started being like, oh, I could end the game, or I could try to get more money. But, yeah, the economy, like, either have to see the math, or you have to do the math, or you have to fail at the game to understand why you didn't get it, right?
Like, right. So it was really just, it was a rough one when it was everyone kind of on a different level of learning it, and just kind of sitting down. Like, it was just funny to see all these decisions that were, like... just very inconsistent from round to round.
Right. I'll pay two for that, and I'll pay 50 for that.
Oh, no. Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, like, I could see why that came back out, and it's got, like, some support to it. I enjoyed the, like, the art in the game. I wasn't, like, down on it or anything.
I think it's cool. I mean, there's a painting here or there or whatever, a piece of art here and there that's a little strange and out there, or it isn't much of anything, but... Mm.
I guess that's mostly what art is, though, right?
Right, interpretation. So
cool. I, yeah, it was fun. a solid game that definitely is worth worth trying out again, and hopefully playing with the crowd like a few times to see how that changes.
Yeah, I heard good things, so you brought some into the store, right?
Yeah, yep.
Like, I think you had some, and they sold.
And then you asked for a copy, and then I brought in extras. So, what else? After that, we had someone else join in, right? Tom showed up, so we need another...
Yeah.
We kept adding people incrementally, so it was dice fishing that kind of made sense to hop right into after that, which is just, I guess that's a solid game that...
Yeah, I never know, like those first couple times we played, it was, like, really loud and really crazy, and now people seem like they're trying to calculate, you know? Like...
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's still, I think it's still there.
No, yeah, it's fun. I mean, I guess, like, you're still, like, you definitely see cards from game to game where it's, like, everyone just does this.
Right.
Which is, that's the part
where... Or nine or higher is, like, just grab your d20
and go for it. Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah. And now it kind of, I guess that does fall a little flat once you've seen it.
But you grabbed your d10 in hopes that if you did get it, you'd be closer, right. Which is a good...
It's fun to, like, try it, you know?
You gotta push your luck in that game, or there's just nothing to it.
Right.
Or you gotta just not push your luck at all and just know, I'm gonna roll 6 dice, and when everybody fails, I'll just get it and take it home, you know?
Right. It is always funny seeing, like, someone roll dice, and it's like, that's not actually physically possible.
You can't actually win with that. No, like, oh, darn it. Just roll them anyway. Sometimes you don't want to tell.
Oh, you didn't get it. Oops.
Nice.
But yeah, no, dice fishing is just, it's solid.
And we can't bring it into the store. But it's still a someday. Great game.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good point.
So.
When we have Portal Essentials. That sounds like the company. Like Dice Towers, you know.
Yeah, Portal needs to pick this one up because we've got a stamp on it or something. So after that, we played Paper Tales, another just great game. I mean,
and we played with 6 or 7.
I think we played with 6. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd have to go back and play Seven Wonders and play with all the expansions. Like, I imagine because it has all the expansions, it's kind of like Orleans versus Altiplano. Like, Orleans has all this stuff, so naturally it's going to be more enjoyable, like Seven Wonders would, but. But Paper Tales is cool because you get, like, combos. Like, there's not a lot of combos. There's just better scoring in Seven Wonders, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
The guilds
it's
are
definitely,
cool.
Like...
The guilds are pretty cool
in Seven Wonders. Yeah. But that's such a minor part that comes out, like, toward the tail end. But, I mean, it's... This one's just nice because it is, like... It doesn't just... add on to what you're doing. Like, you can have stuff just stay throughout the game, but for the most part you just have to balance, like, this is really good for me, but can I afford to lose it and have something else, you know? Just can I alter my strategy enough to, like, not get rid of all the stuff that I've done prior to this. So, and I mean, the buildings are neat. I know it is, I don't, some have to be in the game, is that correct?
Yeah,
it recommends four of the 7.
Yeah, which is tricky because you'd love to just be able to shuffle them up every time.
Yeah,
because instead it's just, like, confusing. Remember the first time I tried? I was like, well, shuffle these, take and set these those aside, out. Then take these, take them out of the game, then shuffle them, now bring them back in the game and put them with those ones. It was like, I messed that up. Like, should have just shuffled and put them out and said, take all these.
Right, but it was. I mean, I guess that would be the thing. I wonder what the reasoning is behind that. Maybe there are certain. I haven't looked into those.
Like, the other ones are extension optional, other ways to score, but you need these, like, standard scorecards to make it worth it.
It's a really fun one. I know we had played with the expansion, so that definitely, like, that helps. I don't know if I've played it without that.
I would never take that. No, you haven't, yeah. I just shuffled it in. That's it. It's over. So plays with 7 with the expansion, and just adds the other buildings and more cards. And it doesn't feel like, oh, shoot, I can't get to the old cards.
Right. No, so I'm glad this is a good one.
Very limited by the cards that come at you, though. Like,
there are
times where it's like, I got 2 coins, and I got all 2 coin cost cards. Like,
right.
And it's not much.
Or if you just don't get any of the resources. Like, buildings always have seemed key. Like, being able to build a building, and ideally level 2.
Right.
It seems like it's very key. So if you don't have something to, like, actually do that, it feels tough, but...
There are cards that flip your buildings out.
There are ways around it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was really good. And then we kind of did... Then it was a weird... Like, everyone started showing up at that point. So we just threw down code names on the table, played this, played the giant and version.
It was so easy to see.
Yeah, except it just fell apart a little bit.
I'm going to a surprise birthday party, and you left the X, the I don't even know what it is at that point, edition. Because I think the like one you can that's buy in the store
that's
is
the large X, one.
It's like the promo edition.
This is this it's has a huge all of
box.
The...
It's like a Mex vs. Minion size box. Right.
Maybe bigger, taller, or longer.
Yeah.
Not taller.
So I'm going to bring deeper. That to a surprise birthday party. Just throw that out and have people play that. You know, I think that'll be fun.
No, it is really good. I know it was, yeah, it was funny. Just like the stuff that comes out of it. You know, it was like we played one round and it's like the first clue, first word get picked was the assassin. It's like, oh, darn it.
And I wasn't even playing with Kathy.
So, yeah, it was fun. I tried to be a little more ambitious with with my clue giving, and it just didn't work.
Love ambitious.
But, yeah, it was fun.
I'm always ambitious with my clue giving.
So, I'm trying to piece together what happened after that. I know it was, we kind of had that going for a bit. I don't know, you kind of broke off, and you were greeting people a bit, trying to play a few games with people, and then a few of us ended up sitting down and... Oh, I think that's when Mysterium broke out, and I think Champions of Midgard was going on, so like a group of four of us ended up sitting down, and we ended up playing, or actually five of us, we played Terraforming Mars, which, again, that's one of those top ten as well,
nice.
And that's just such a great game. It was really interesting. It was one of those ones that, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It was funny. I didn't progress at all on the terraforming rating until like the very last round, which was just a neat way to like to see the game kind of come together. At least for me, like personally, it was just it's really cool to actually be doing well and not having contributed to anything that I should have been contributing to. You know,
you were a true corporation.
Yeah.
You sat back and let everybody do the work while you took in all the winnings and fame.
It was just, I ended up getting a few of the cards out that let you draw cards, cause like from as an action, and that was just, that seemed key. I mean, I just had a handful of cards for most of the game, and when you can really abuse that, you know, that's when you start being able to chain a lot of things together, and, you know, I had a ton of points in cards, which was just, you know, that definitely just swung it in my favor, so.
Nice.
So we need to get you to play with the
expansion. I know, it's just crazy. Because I have played it like since all those have come out. I just
haven't played with those.
With all the stuff in there, so I need to do
it. We did not draft, which with a few people that are like a few, I don't know, at least one person that was new. You can't really throw that at them.
Yeah.
You could, but it's tough.
Yeah, I guess so.
I know
it feels like it's tougher than it is.
Yeah,
I think it feels like, oh my gosh, we're going to add another phase to the game. Like, it's going to be super long. But
like
I guess the game is always longer than I expect it to be. Because like when you play solo, you're like, oh, it was 35 minutes. Because you just blow through your cards, but I guess with more people.
The thing that's not, it's not difficult to like to throw that in there. Like, you can definitely do the draft and pick cards that'll work for you. But I feel like it's deciding whether or not a card is better for the other person. Like when you're trying to hate draft, that's the thing that's tough.
Yeah.
You can definitely feed someone cards that are just perfect for them and not really know it unless you've actually played through a few
that's
times.
A good point.
So I think that's the bigger thing with drafting, but solid game.
Makes sense.
So after that I had to pick up my son, so it was kind of rushed through everyone else. Like, they all offered to clean up and everything because it did run a little later.
Yep.
But I went home, picked up my son, and then that was that for Friday.
Cool.
What was next? Saturday?
Yeah.
No, I got there late on Saturday. I had to work most of the day, so I came in. Everyone was kind of in a game as I got there. I sat down with a group of, like, four of us ended up playing Spirit Island, which it had been a while for me since, like, Dice Tower Con 2017.
Wow.
So,
you never played it in the interim?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I, like, when would we have played it? Did we play it once at, like, the store or something?
I don't know. I've played it a bunch, but I kept teaching it to people.
I mean, I might have played it, but...
That's cool.
Three plays.
Ah, three plays. You lie.
No, but I played multiple times at
Dice Tower Con.
So
what'd you think?
Yeah, it was fun. It felt like we were gonna win pretty early into the not too far. I know there was still a chance that we wouldn't, and we kind of had a few things thrown in. Like, people were definitely hating on the events. Like, there was a lot of stuff to kind of read through and figure out on those. So it was.
Love the event.
I could see if you played it enough, though,
8 to 10 times, it needs randomness,
right?
To like stop to throw the a wrench prediction. In your plans. Yeah, exactly. Although it is weird that the events are. I said this previous segment, but it's weird that the events are like a really bad thing and then two positive things.
Yeah.
So it's like it washes out. So right. We really need to play with those adversaries and the scenarios. And I feel like they're just fiddly, like it starts to get in the danger zone of Sentinels of the Multiverse. But I know I played with them solo one time and they were fine. Like, just remember to do this. Or the little cards have the little house with the flag on it, the scenario thing, and it just, it triggers what it says right there. Like, it's pretty easy. Yeah. And it makes the game harder. So that's just where it needs to go. That's its biggest sin, is that it's too easy. Which is so funny, because it doesn't present itself as too easy.
It feels very difficult and stressful.
It's like a lot, yeah.
It's very...
And
like,
it starts
feels
at
like...
its peak.
yeah, you're definitely...
pretty close to its peak.
Right. It feels like you're pretty quick to, like, make your engine work for you. And catch up and turn the tide.
Right. The story is almost like, things have gotten so bad on the island... Now the spirits come out to take over to fight it back. Not like, okay, we know they're coming. Let's start our defense
let's prep.
Right?
And...
So it's like you're coming in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
So you don't have that wave of like, let's see what happens in a couple turns. It's like, boom, they're right on top of you.
When you play it, does it usually result in people focusing on their section?
No.
You kind of spread out?
Yeah.
I know with ours it was kind of... I mean, people felt... a little centralized on their own boards, and I couldn't really expand too quickly to get to, like, the really problematic areas, so, like, my board was pretty cleaned up.
Yeah.
And then, at a certain point, it was like, I'm gonna have to spend a couple turns trying to, like, spread out, or I can just do this thing from my spot and just help people out without really trying to...
yeah.
To do anything else. It's just, like, at a certain point, it became... All right, let me collect my cards and play this card that helps you.
Yeah.
Let me collect my cards and play this card that
helps you. I've played a lot of 2 and 3 player, and it's just all table talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I got this region covered. What are we going to do about this one? This one's all set. Are we just letting this one fall? I think so. Wait, let's switch. I can take care of that. Oh, but then I'm going to have to get rid of this one. Can you, like, so in 2 and 3 player, I feel like there's a lot more of that. So I feel like 4 player... No offense to anybody that you play with, but when people are trying to wrap their head around the game, that's probably a lot. Like, it's much better to start at 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be an amazing game, like, full-on scenarios, adversaries, you, me, Larry, Kathy. Like, 4 people that know the game now, you know, and just go to town, like, know our characters and really work together. I feel like that would be a really fun game, when you're not worried about the mechanisms of the game and reading all the cards, and you're just working as a team.
Yeah, I know, like, it did bog down a little bit, like, when we were trying to decide on certain things. Yeah. And at certain points, it was definitely just, well, we could do... Okay, we're doing that.
Yeah, right.
You know, kind of force that decision to be made, and it's like, you could min-max it to a certain point, but...
Yeah, and that's where I like the events.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Just go.
But...
Cool. Yeah, nice.
So that was the only one on Saturday. That was definitely... fairly limited for me, but still fun. I mean, it was a good one to just hop in. Oh, no, it is only 2 plays. I read last play 3 days ago, so it was 2 plays.
And you finished up a couple on Sunday?
Yeah, so I got there again. I had to work, and then got there after, played Jump Drive, which, well, just the two of us, and it was we sat down, played,
and it was just great. Battle of the mind. We didn't even talk.
Yeah.
Jason Perez is there, and he's just like, you're not even talking, or whatever, or we were saying that. Like, I was just like, I love this game, you don't even talk.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet where I haven't taught anybody.
And it was just...
I answered no questions.
Yeah.
I asked one of you, and we just played. It was awesome. Like, that was so fun. I'd love to bring that to a restaurant and play that with Kathy.
And just not talk
the whole time. And just not talk. But you know the beauty of that, though? You know what I'm saying? Because you're just thinking the whole time. Like, you're just maximizing your strategy because you're not answering any questions. You're not... Maybe this is me as teaching all the time. Like, I'm always making sure everybody knows how to play. But that time, it was like, okay, Brian will beat me if I don't think about this full on.
And then you questioned me as to why I did something. First turn.
Did I...
Why would you ever explore on your first turn?
What are you doing? But I forgot that we started with the random hands. So.
Gotcha. Nice.
That's good.
So, cool. Yeah, no, we played that.
Love that game.
And then, you know, a few other games were going on. I know we were trying to wait on some stuff to finish up so we could grab a few people to play some heavier stuff, which was great. We ended up finishing the con with yes. Gaia Project.
Oh, it was so wonderful.
And I've got to say, this one's going to be in top 10
oh, yes. for me, too. So. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, this game is so good.
Yeah, like, it definitely was.
I get it that theme isn't interesting. I get it that it's a huge brain burn. But, like, oh, it's such a fun brain burn.
Yeah.
Like, trying to beat people, the planets. how do I exploit my ability is mm-hmm. so fun, right? It's not that Glory to Rome, like, just get a combo and it just kills everybody.
Right.
It's like, I'm just trying to figure out if I can exploit mine. Or is it just something on the tech track that I need? Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. You know, it's a lot to kind of come through, but we played with someone that hadn't played before, and it felt
so
like it
well.
Was, yeah, it was like a good, it felt like it was a good step into that, right. that system, you know? It didn't feel like it was completely overwhelming to someone that hadn't played before.
And the one thing I will say in Terra Mystica was the same, and I think Gaia Project might be worse, is just that final points differential. Can make you points differential. Can make you feel like you didn't do well.
Right.
And you kind of didn't, but you were so close. Like, you're battling for first place on some of those things, and you just somebody figures out a way to take the lead, and that's it. It's over,
yeah.
You know?
Terraforming Mars can be the same way, though. Like,
right.
You know, they're just yeah, games that feel just... competitive until they're not.
Which right. is and like then all of a sudden you get to the end, and you're like, ah. But at least it's at the end. I mean, you kind of know, and you could kind of add up the points, but... You feel like there's still a shot. Like, maybe I can make something work or whatever.
The tough thing is only when there are decisions made. Like, it's like, oh, that person's doing well. I'm going to negatively affect them where I could actually attack someone else
yeah.
or something. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to stop the wrong person because it looks like they're doing well.
Yeah. Well, and Will made the perfect move. He moved up on that track, the navigation track, to take mm-hmm. that. But that final tile would have been
was what
really
you
good for
yeah.
me. I don't think I would have beat you, so I don't want to put it in that category.
But it would have.
But it would have significantly helped. I would have been able to add a lot and lock up two categories. I think you just really exploited some points really
yeah.
well with your
no, it was...
faction. And I wasn't sure with mine with the money. It felt like, but I think my money thing was more versatile than like powerful. Like
mm-hmm.
oh, just spend all your money on something. It was more like gather all your resources and then what you're short each round. Spend money
right.
to make the difference, and I didn't really balance my resources, so I just got money.
Yeah, it's funny, like, stuff can always be really tight, though, and I guess
yeah.
the... I always do think that there's a way to convert money into, like, ore or something. You know, like,
oh,
I
yeah.
always feel like there should be a way.
Right, right.
It's like, I feel like
can't
I should
just go
buy
ore?
Yeah.
Can I just
but,
buy knowledge?
But no, you can't.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, that's a great way to end a con, like... That,
yeah,
I don't know. It's so hard to not call it my favorite game of all time because Gloomhaven's just not really something that I'm ever going to play with anybody. So it just feels worth it to tell people Gaia Project. So then they're like, oh, let's
play.
It's
the best game that I'll play with you.
Right, exactly, because it just sounds rude when you say it that way. Because people don't understand Gloomhaven. They don't
right.
They don't get it, you know?
So,
but yeah, that was awesome way to end the con. Well, you had a great line, too, because I was like, you're going to beat me? At the last game of the con, and my favorite game, like, on the last day, and you were like, well, we'll finish after midnight, right? I was like, touche, Brian.
So.
Yeah, the con was awesome, though, like, because we talked about what we played. Kathy and I did a little bit more. We did
yeah.
highlights instead of
yeah.
run through the whole list. But, like, when I look over that chart, because we had everybody fill out the big chart and everything,
mm-hmm.
like, Grand Austria Hotel, Lisboa... You know, just some cool game. Mysterium got played 3 times, got played on the porch. Like,
mm-hmm.
kids were playing games, Fruit Ninja, Not So Fast, and Tower Madness was there from Smirk and Laughter, Smirk and Dagger, you know, both of those. Same company. it was just all over. Like, there was just all sorts of stuff going on. There were so many game teachers, which was, like, so relieving for me.
Yeah.
Because that's just what I needed more than anything. People just who could find people and play a game. Nothing personal got played.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was just some great, great games. And it was cool. It was great. I mean, it was busy. And this was by far the most hours. Like, people were there between 8 and 9 every morning and left between 12 and 1.
Yeah, no, and it was and great it was just to see...
perfect sleep for me.
It was great just to see the mix of people, too. It's always... You know, like, there. It's a healthy dose of fresh faces and people that have just been there for, like, yeah. every day of the con.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because it's always... Just you've got opportunities to play with people and just... kind of what you're looking for. Like, there are people that are going to be playing what you're looking to play.
Yeah.
Which is just a great way to hop into something like that.
And I think, you know, from the store side or community or whatever, I think this is one of those things when people talk about, like, a store can't just sit and say, well, you should come buy for me because I'm here. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we would never subscribe to that mentality. That's right. The strangest mentality I've ever heard of. Like, well, we exist, so you should buy games from us. Like,
right. I'm giving you this.
Cheaper elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's no denying it. There's right. no being like, well, if you want to be rude and buy it from Amazon mm-hmm. or whatever. Right?
Oh, yeah, no. There's...
Like, that makes perfect logical sense that somebody would spend less money on something somewhere yeah. else. The same reason why we would put a game on clearance or sale mm-hmm. to make it less money to entice somebody to buy it, or now this is worth it to you, right?
Yeah.
But I think these are going to be the key things. You know, a store, and of course this is a rare thing, right? Because of Kathy and I, we have a connection to some local con like this. But being present at a con, like a fall con, where you're selling, being present at like a library program, which Jen is, you know, just heralding that whole idea.
Yeah.
You know, doing such a great job. What a blessing that we have her miles from the store right, to right be part of that. You know, getting into schools, getting into business offices for team building activities. You know, this community stuff I think is so important. So I think that's what's neat, is to have these people come down from the store who just are patrons of the store and get to these cons and just start playing with people and spreading that hobby just through there. Like, wow, look, there's more people than just Brant who know all these games, right. you know? Or I've heard of this game and this person can teach me this game, or whatever it is, right? And it just gets that into more people's hands, and I think that's key, and I think that's the kind of things that stores need to think of.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody's listening that it has an FLGS that they run, or has one in town and it just kind of is limping its way along, and these are the ideas to give them, is just get your name out there, get involved, figure out how to get people... You know, there's crazy things we've done, like bringing the dice tower in that, you know, yeah. have a cost and a time, and they're not possible for everybody. But there's other things you can do. Just throw your hat in the ring somewhere and go be helpful and, you know, and
right.
useful and raise the community. And that's something great that you've always recognized, you know, in all the things. Mm. It's just always been like, let's just build community and then we can worry about the funding.
Right. Obviously, it needs to still yeah. operate, but I know the thing that's nice to see, you know, it's just, it's a good meeting point. You know, if there's a group of people that comes in and they make new friends and have just a new gaming group because of the store, I like, that's fine if they feel like, you know, at a certain point, it's time to move on and, you know, now they're gaming at their house or, right. you know, elsewhere. It's fine. Like, we're happy that we could be a point of contact for all of them to be, you know, to mm-hmm. be accepting, welcoming, and then they could hop from there into just a new part of their life or something like that. And I think we see that so often with like the meetup group or just like the different regulars at the store. Like, there are people that have been, you know, have been gaming there since before I was even working there.
Right.
And there are others that are like, you know, that have come and gone over the years or whatnot, just played stuff and, you know, then moved on to a different point or something. And it's just, it's nice to see that always changing. And it's always felt like it's been a healthy environment to like welcome new people into. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can offer, you know, besides the like, oh, we've got games for you to buy. Like, it's just, you can come in and find something that maybe you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Episode 104, just VonnerCon.
Easy enough, right?
Simple title. VonnerCon 4, I guess, is what this one is. So,
yeah, it's been a few years now.
I know. We keep going. We keep trucking. 2019 is going to be bigger and better than ever. So, going to think of some new ideas, new ways. Got to find more tables. We fit, but we could definitely
expand. Yeah, I didn't see the day that... I mean, I was there when it felt like it was comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were probably...
I was getting nervous. Like, what do I do? You know? Yeah. Well, luckily, we had some card tables we set up in another room. And Kathy Quick went and cleaned another room out so we could put tables up to get people in, and luckily there were people like moving in and out at the right times. Like they'd come in, they'd play three games, they'd head out, and then another group would come in, because had everybody come at once, we wouldn't have had space. But that's okay. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Figured out from there. Awesome. I think that's going to shut down our VonnerCon episode 104. So until next time, I am your host, The Brant.
And I am your co-host, Brian.
And on behalf of Kathy, your co-host, we hope you step into the portal.